The 15th chapter of the book of Acts, the 6th verse, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our Father nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agrees the words of the prophet, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Okay. Just want to comment just a little bit tonight and see if the Lord will give us a thought. First of all, I want to say again that I'm thankful to be here. Feel privileged to be here and have a part in the kingdom of God and have a part with you and with different ones that are trying to do something for Jesus. When I say that, you know, I can't find the real adequate words for expression. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart and the bottom of my soul. I'm thankful that I'm numbered with the Christians, with the people of God. I'm so very grateful. How many of you are grateful that you're a Christian? I'm grateful. I'm so thankful. I have been going through some things that some of you are partially aware of and some of you are not. But I made this, well, I've made a lot of statements since I've been here. Maybe that you didn't understand, some of them that you do. But I've really been under a great, tremendous strain since I've been here. Even my wife, as I've said before, isn't aware of the strenuous task that it has been. Only God knows what we've been through with. Can I talk with you just a minute now, just for a few minutes? The financial strain and stress has been beyond endurance as far as my ability, because I'm not smart, not intelligent, not strong. But through the grace of God, we've survived and we've managed. And it has been a great miracle that God has performed, that we were able to hold up under it and meet it. And thus far, to his glory and not to my ability or to merit anything, we have not had one repossession of that which God has given us through all the crisis or anything else. Now, brethren, that is tremendous, tremendous for a little old bald-headed country boy that don't even know his, well, don't even know the alphabets real good. That's wonderful. I think that's tremendous. Has to be God. God picks out the foolish things so he can get the glory for it. And that's a tremendous thing when millionaires have had repossessions. I understand that they said that men that were exceedingly rich and millionaires lost their possessions and they took their goods back. And you remember the vision I saw where they were losing their big fine homes and all these things. And I said through it all, I said, the Lord blessed us and ours. I see God has been very gracious to us. But I made the statement also that just having to pay the bills, though that was unbearable, that would have been the easiest part of it. For through it, I've tried to labor some with my hands, tried to help, pay tremendous radio bills, publication of literature, and giving thousands of dollars to others through the grace of God. Then, besides that, I've tried to keep up my own little family, take care of them, keep peace and counsel with people night and day here and abroad. Being pressed out of measure, as Paul said, I had to depend on God. And having fought the devil continually under physical strain, my body breaking from being out on the field, from trying to help others. Remember where Brother Branham one time was under such a tremendous load that they said that he had to start wearing thick lens glasses. His eyes almost went out on him. He counseled and prayed with people so much. But we tried to do what we could. And I know what it is. Instead of Jesus and the apostles, they had no leisure inasmuch as to eat. I've seen the time when I didn't have time to eat. Night and day, bedding people down, coming in from different places. I have had blood to issue forth from my body for numbers of years because of the stress and strain. I've had my head to, the nerves to break like a web across my head, ring like a bell for years, not days, weeks, months, night and day. I've laid upon my bed day and night without any relief, hardly at all. Months and months at a time, years. I fought the devil and been pressed in such a way till my tongue would swell out of my mouth. And my tongue was so deeply indented until it looked like you took impression for dentures. And that is the truth. My head has been in such a condition that the sores broke out all over it and continued to stay day after day and week after week and would heal up and come right back. I've had my inwards to start turning into corruption until the secretion of my head and body was rotten in my nostrils, in my head, and in my body. I've been in such a condition that the pigments of my skin in different places died. The soreness was so bad until it was like there was something that was wedged inside of my chest. But in such a condition that anything that I took a bite of would hurt so bad from the time I went to swallow all the way down till I couldn't hardly bear it. And then if I took a bite of anything at night, lay down, I would almost die before the morning. Horrible, horrible, so horrible that I don't have words of expression. I have had pains of every description. I've been preaching to you when my heart would be hurting so bad and pains would be locked up in here that I could not breathe in any time expecting to go out like that. I have had, my body has hurt. There's not one place in my body that I know of, from my hands, my toes, my fingers, my head, my ears, my eyes, my neck, my chest, every part of my body has hurt Just all of a sudden, just in my finger, it would be like somebody driving a nail through the bone. If it had lasted very long, I would have went into spasms. But I didn't stop. I didn't let up. I kept going. As I said here not too long ago, I had to roll myself off of the bed on my knees. I couldn't get up. But I would roll myself off on my knees and stay there in prayer until I got the strength to get up. All kind of afflictions, folks. At the same time, I was trying to carry the financial load, trying to help physically. Satan had stirred up every brother he could against me locally, stirred my family up against me in my own home and brethren in the islands, stirred them up against me, and those that eat my bread lifted up their heel against me. And night and day, they come against me and said things about me and found fault and tried to tear down and hope that what I'd done would crumble, and went to each other and deviled me through their conversations. Resented me, and Jesus said they hated me without a cause. I hadn't done nothing to them. When I needed somebody to stand by me, they would turn away from me and leave me under a tremendous load, and I would have to go to God and beg God to help me. And He would. During the time of these experiences, these different things that occurred and happened to me, I sat in your meetings, in the men's meetings, and on top of all the problems, my nerves collapsed. My nerve energy left, and my nerves collapsed on me. I could not keep my sanity. There was no way possible. You people that think you have nerve trouble, it gets what they call the jitters and gets upset and lose your temper. That's not nerve trouble, because your head jerks a little bit and you feel uncomfortable around people. That's not nerve trouble. That's just a little condition of the mind. But when your nerves collapse, you can't focus your mind anymore. You don't have any control over your body. You don't have any control over yourself anymore. So you don't know where your thoughts is going and your mind's going. It's pitiful. It's a very pitiful thing. So much that a person would sit down and pity themselves. They are afraid to speak and afraid to think, because they know that whatever comes out isn't going to make sense. Besides this, we tried to travel, preach, carry the gospel, and help others. God was with us, and God kept us as we tried to counsel night and day. I was pressed out of measure and many times in counseling with you to help you. My nerve energy would go out, and I could not for another 5 minutes hold myself together. But you never knew anything about it, because I turned to faith. And when there was no hope, something supernaturally took over. And that's the truth, so help me God. The only reason that I could survive, I could not survive as a human being. There was no way possible. The only way that I could survive was I learned that He said, "Let the weak say I'm strong, and through faith you become strong." And I learned that He said it was abundantly above all that I was able to ask or think. So when He commanded me not to lean to my own understanding, I didn't. For my own understanding failed me. And I realized that He was to do the thinking. So I leaned on Him. The Bible tells us that we don't even know what to pray for. No need to lean to our own understanding, because the Spirit that searches the heart, that knoweth the mind of God, knoweth the things of God, it searches man's heart, and maketh intercession between him and God with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. How many understand what I'm saying? This has been horrible. Now, I knew that with all of this, I also knew that cancer was working on me. I also knew that. But I didn't complain to you. I would say, "Pray for me." I told my wife, and my wife wept. though I didn't tell her this. But I told her, I said, Sister Betty, I'm not against medical aid. I'm not against what doctors can do. The medicine doeth good, the Bible said. Not against that. But doctors and nurses are out of their place. The Bible says it's good for man not to touch woman, and vice versa. And under those kind of conditions, I said, I'm not going to the hospital. Though any sober, sane doctor would say I am a fool because I'm not under intensive care right now. But I said, I'm not going. I said, God, if I die, I die. And I've told Betty, I said, Betty, if you don't undertake before the morning, I told her what to do. Now, at the same time, there was a great consolation, if you know what this means. Different ones was telling me they had already seen me dead. Different ones was telling me how that I died. Some said I did make the resurrection. And then to help it all, I had night vision after night vision of things happening to me and of my death. And of course you remember when they came after me in a casket. You know, they brought the casket in the vision. I said, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Mr. George. I said, well, I'm him. So they set the casket down and I got up and started to get in it and put my foot in it and I started to lay down. I thought, no, what am I doing, you know? I don't want to do that. And I got out of it in the vision. But numbers of time death has struck. And I told the spirit of death and Satan, I said, I'm not going with you. I'm not through. I've got things to do, and there's no need for you to bother me. I am not going with you. And he would leave. Now, I'm saying these things for a reason tonight. For at least because of the stress and strain, for at least 10 years or more, things have been happening to me. And I wouldn't let up. I refused to let up. And I saw in a vision, how many years ago at Winchester, Betty? 12 years ago. I saw in a vision as an evil, bewitching hand, a wretched hand came down. It came down like this, and it grabbed me in here. And it refused to turn me loose. And even when I came out of the vision, it still hadn't turned me loose. Though I cried to God, it had a death hope. And it fought fiercely. And I knew that, as I said, I also knew that cancer had taken its toll during the problems that I had, all these other things put together. But I said, Lord, I'm on your hand. You've got to heal me or let me die. I said, I'm not going to the hospital that women put their hands all over me. I'm going to be clean. I'm going to be holy. And so it was, the Lord gave me a vision just recently while I was praying. And in the vision, he showed me that I had cancer. And he showed me in the vision as he moved and took the evil cancer disease and took the cancer and hurled it away, snatched it away from me, took it out of my life, took it away. And within a few hours, the difference was so great until I was almost shocked. Almost shocked. God has graciously, wonderfully healed me and delivered me in spite of all that Satan did. And I'm standing here whole and strong and healthy tonight. Still fighting Satan with all that I got and will continue to do it by his grace, because I know that Satan is defeated. One of us had to be defeated, and he lost the battle. He tried to kill me because he knew that this was the end of his kingdom. He did not stop at anything, whether it was accusation, whether it was the law, to turn the law on me or whatever. But he lost, and I won. I'm thankful tonight for those that have tried to understand, tried to stand by me and work with me and help me. I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful for you that did try to help me. There's always Job's miserable comforters, but there is some that love the Lord, some that prayed, some that hope. I've seen God heal. I've seen God do great things for some of you while I was in this strain. And the Lord told me, said, son, said it is to manifest the life of Christ. And he spoke to me as my end was turning into corruption and said, I suffer not my Holy One to see corruption, nor his soul to remain in hell. So then the Lord brought me out. We sang that song, He Brought Me Out. He brought me out. And He did. He brought me out. And I told that it might be a testimony to some of you. If you've got problems, if you've got heartaches, if you've got sorrows, sicknesses, if you mean business with God, God will take care of you. You can't be bluffing. You better have the goods. So then it doesn't require any merit on your part. But it does require sincerity with God. Real, genuine sincerity. I want to say again that I appreciate all of these that are fasting, giving their time to the Lord and trying to do what they're doing. I appreciate it. I'm so grateful. My wife has been through such a great, tremendous strain. She's wept. Day after day, she's wept. I've been praying for her, and she's coming out. She was sitting laughing today with the daughters. I can tell her strength's returning to her. And she has really been through a strain. It's been unbearable. And the load is still tremendous on her. But I thank God for my wife. How many appreciate my wife? I thank God for Sister Betty. And I want you to pray that the Lord will help us. Pray that God will help us to do what we're supposed to do. By the way, Brother Lyons also mentioned he had a vision of spiritual conquest. And said there was something about it that in the vision that he was shown that there was something in this book that he needed in spiritual conquest. So he was asking about it, making inquiry about it. I think rather than preaching to you, I think I'm just going to say a few more things to you and just let my testimony tonight be to the encouragement of your faith. I had some things on my mind that I think would have encouraged your faith, but I think that I'll just say a few more things here and let that be it and let you go home a little early tonight. But I wonder, if you really, from your heart, mean business with God, I wonder if you really mean business with God, folks, somewhere down the way, you're going to meet God. You're going to meet Satan. And when you do, if you do not mean business with him, then you're in trouble. You're in great trouble. Because I'm telling you something, he's not to be played with. I had a night vision the other night, and I looked, and on this side of me was like a great Dane, one of these huge dogs that was trying his best to devour me. It done got to me. Out here in front of me was a lion. Over here was a leopard. Over here was another leopard. And all these animals was closing in on me, closing in on me. And they were right upon me almost when God made a way in the midst of them for me to just go out of it. He made a way. There was no way, but he made a way anyway. And God makes a way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm grateful that I have the privilege to testify for the glory of God. And though you might, as Paul said, he said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. You might be fighting with beasts. But God's able to deliver you, and God will deliver you if you'll give him a chance to deliver you. You believe that? Hallelujah. How many of you really are planning to do something for God? If our brother William Branham is right, next year is the last year. Our trip to Jerusalem, I want to say this again, since we're just having a little talk. Our trip to Jerusalem, according to what I understand, has to do with the closing out of the Gentile age, the fullness of the Gentiles. I say again, it's no coincidence that God has planned it, that right here at the very time when the government ends its 200-year span, July of this year, it ends its 200-year span, and I want to ask this question now to get my thought over. How many of you believe that God is going to allow another 200 years of government before His coming? Everyone that believes that He will, I want you to raise your hand. So you don't believe He will, do you? To me, there'll be an Antichrist government that will intervene between the middle of this year and the coming of the millennium, which will be a government that will be short-lived. It will be an Antichrist government, one of the cruelest in the world. It will be short-lived. And this government that we're setting up here, having been previewed, will go out and come back in the millennium to continually rule until God translates the entire earth. The millennium, as I said, is the restoration of all things, to bring back the lost species of all ages. And once God is restored and resurrected, then He will translate it into a celestial body to where it will never be lost at the hands of Satan again. You make it eternal. Now, with us going to Jerusalem, it's no coincidence that right here at the change of the government that we are being led by the Lord, according to what I understand, to go there. And it's no coincidence to me that whereas we've been preaching the translation of Elijah, which is the catching out of the church, the bride, that at the very same time that we're preaching it, that we're in the water, baptizing, and during this time pictures are taken, to where from all evidence of appearance, whether it is the Spirit or whether it is a symbol of the Spirit, as the sun around the woman in the Revelation 12, it appears that there is light streaming down from heaven as a Spirit, coming down over us in the picture, partially translating us from the eyes. And then in the second picture, the light has completely translated us. Almost entirely, we're gone in the second picture. The light has translated us. And the streaming down of the light is no longer there, but it becomes a personification. Now, to me, it's no coincidence that right at this time that we took that picture, put it away in a little folder, not noticing what it was. And then when we examined it, we found in big words on the folder, it said rapture. And then when I examined the folder, it was from Shepherd Church. And it was from Stone Mountain, which goes back to the little stone that was hewed out in that day that tore down the kingdoms. Also, to the crossing of the Jordan, it was from Young's Road. The children going in. And it was Brother Chatham's church, the one that has the tour schedule with Shepherd's Airline. And the little rapture paper from the Shepherd Church, it has to do with the Shepherd Airline, is the trip that goes to Jerusalem, caught up to be with Him. Now, if that's coincidental, that's a lot of coincidence. God working all things after the counsel of His own will. I think it's wonderful. The way these things are going is a lot of other things that I'd like to say in connection with it. They don't register tonight. But I feel that the church is right on the verge of being raptured. Now, Brother Branham said years ago, check yourself every hour for the rapture. Now, he said that when this happened, it would pass right through you, and you'd never see it. Something has been taking place. I think you'll admit that. It has not only stirred Monroe, but from the evangelists I talked to, they say it's stirring people all over the nation and out of the nation. And people are becoming concerned about little Bethlehem. In the vision I had where the stars gathered to one side of the heaven, all of them gathered to one side of the heaven, I believe that that also has to do with Atlanta, Georgia, and that I said the government would be moved from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia, and that all nations will collectively speaking, will congregate there in Atlanta. It's no coincidence to me that Atlanta is the place that's gone with the wind. The famous picture, Gone with the Wind, when you speak of the rapture. The place of the seven bridges. And a number of other things that has to do with Atlanta tells me that God has chosen this area for some specific purpose and some specific means. And I want to try to do my very best. That's why I'm talking to you tonight like I am. I want to try to do my very best to be loyal, to be clean, to be holy, to be upright, and to leave a testimony for the Lord. If Brother Branham is right, next year is the last year. Whether the first of the year, last of the year, I don't know. But next year is the last of, well, it's the end. That is, if he's right. And that means that we need to do something. And if you haven't done anything, you need to do something. For over 20 years, I've tried to do something for God. But you need to do something for the Lord, folks. You need to become God-minded, concerned, and do something for the Lord. There's some of you here that's still making excuses, continually making excuses. And I judge that if you have made excuses the way you have in the past, that you're going to continue to make them, and that your Lord is going to come in a day that you think not. And I would say that if this is the last year, I'm saying if Brother Branham is right, if this is the last year, I'd certainly want to do something this year for God, wouldn't you? I'd certainly want to get to church on time a little, give a little more consideration as to what time I got to church, how much attention I paid when I got to church, be willing to stay long enough to give God a chance to speak to me, consider what the preacher's been trying to get over to us, and many other things that I could say that we could do for God. I believe I'd want to. I think I'd try to make my life to where I entered into His courts with thanksgiving and into His gates with praise. I believe I would. I believe I'd try to get rid of resentment, haughtiness, unconcern, rebellion, and try to get a vision for the Lord Jesus. I believe I would. Jealousy, hatred, all of these things, I'd try to eliminate them from my life. I don't know what you're planning to do, but I'm planning to try to do something for the Lord, if He'll help me. I need your help, if you will help me. But I'm not going to rely on you. I'm going to rely on Jesus. But if you want to help me and want to stand with me, then you can. I'm planning to do what I can for God and planning to do what I can for you. You love the Lord? I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. Something I had on my mind, I wanted to say it has registered. It's waiting a few minutes. Sometimes the Lord allows that to teach us patience. Allows us to wait just a little bit to teach us patience. You've got your school. Today, to me, is a great day. For the first time, they had the school down here at the building. First time. them little bridges, I really saw the children going over Jordan. It's like a Canaan land to them. They've waited a long time, and of course that's your benefits in that building, which goes back to the Canaan. I don't know whether you remembered it or not, or remember or not, but I had a vision a long time ago, and in this vision, the Lord showed me some things. Some of those things was where you grew weary. I looked at you, and some of you became very old. You grew weary. Some of you young folks, you became very weary and very old. And when you did, you quit on me. Kind of looks like some of that might have happened. When you did, I thought the job wasn't finished. I turned, and I was weary too. The Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. I turned and I renewed my youth. And I renewed my wife's youth. And then I went on in. Took hold of the things and continued on. And I told you when I had the vision, I said, though I be weary, if you grow weary and quit on me, I'm just going to renew my youth in God, my strength in God. Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings of eagle. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. The song said, teach me, Lord, to wait. So He has helped me. He's been with me. I'm thankful for you that are fasting and praying for the benefit of God and for the benefit of God's kingdom. I trust that everything will be well with you, and I hope that some of the things I've said tonight might prove to be an inspiration to you, that if you've got problems, there is nothing too hard for God. I want you to stand with me. Folks, this is the message of translation. Believe it or not, it is. It really is. I say this very humbly, very sincerely. If this is not the message, then it's getting late. We better find it quick. If this is not the message, then time, if Brother Branham is right, is running out. And then the Lord will have to do something hurriedly, or there won't be a message. So I believe that God has given us a message. And it's wonderful to me. It can and will and is doing the job. Sometimes when I feel like telling Him, explaining to you, maybe you'll see that it really is doing the job. And then when I say you don't understand it, you really don't. When I say that in the light of the fact that you that try to understand with your minds and have tried to figure the thing out, that you missed it. Altogether you missed it. You might say, but Brother Pike, I see it. But you know. You might say, I have revelation. I'm not going to dispute that. But you missed it. Because God does not give it to anybody that reasons, anybody that tries to figure it out, anybody that thinks they know anything. He doesn't give it to them. He has made this above all that you can think. So you can't think your way into it. He said, lean not to your own understanding. There's no way to get this. You might say, well, Brother Pike, if you can't think and reason over it, how does God ever expect you to come into it? He doesn't. You can study all you want to, search all you want to, but you'll never find it. The Bible said God hath hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. You know how He hid it? By making it above your thinking. All that you can think, you can't think your way into it. He hid it by putting it above your thinking capacity. So then you say, how can I have it? He said He would reveal it unto babes such as would learn. That makes Him everything and you nothing. See? In other words, He gives it to whomsoever He will. Whomsoever He will, He hardeneth. That puts God in the driver's seat, and nobody can say, I work for this, I work for that. Paul said, not of works, but God just giveth. Not to him that willeth or runneth, but to whomsoever God will give it to. Somebody would say, well, who does he give it to? He said, he gives more grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due season. Esau I've hated, Jacob have I loved. Before there's ever born, having done no good or evil, this was his decision. Said that it might be up to God. He raiseth up one and putteth down another. So then you can't learn it, you can't study it, you can't find it out. His ways are past finding out. You can't find it out, but if you'll humble yourself unto God and not follow after revelation and not follow after knowledge, for knowledge puffeth up. Paul said a more excellent way, follow after charity. God is love. And when you get the spirit of love and humility and a broken, contrite spirit of esteeming others better than yourself, looking on the things of the others, realizing that you cannot figure it out, then there will be a sweet, warm flow of heaven that will come to your soul, and things will begin to break like the dawning of the morning. Spirit said to me, there'll be new horizons for God. So then God reveals it to you. You can't obtain unto it, but God will reveal it to you. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men. No matter how great a Bible scholar they are, no matter how much seminary they got, no matter how smart in their minds they are, how long they reason, it has never at any time entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but he hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Paul said, may God give you the spirit of revelation. So if you want it, brethren, pray for the spirit of revelation and quit trying to figure it out. You'll find out there'll be a unity and a love among the brotherhood. And as long as you try to figure it out, knowledge will puff you up and you'll just cause problems and trouble, and it'll just be a division, that's all. You'll want to lord over God's heritage and prove, as they did, who is the greatest. Jesus said, just be a servant, you'll be the greatest. Let's sing that little chorus, they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk cannot faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Sing it again. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Sing one more time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us
the Father in the Son, it's in thy shining glory we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let thy will be done.
Isn't that wonderful to know tonight? You know, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled, so greatly thrilled. I stop and think sometimes. I just stop and think. Maybe I'm in my room praying, or maybe I'm out working with the brethren. But I just stop and think sometimes. And I say, Lord, this is so wonderful. This is just so wonderful. It's just, you know, unbelievable. God is so wonderful. And I stop and I think like this. And I say, to think that a human being can just ask anything in your name and you'll do it. Or to think that you've made it possible that according to the scriptures, that if I say anything, doesn't make any difference what it is, that if I say anything and I don't doubt in my heart, it will come to pass. That I can decree a thing in my heart. Think about that. I can do that. See, as a human being, I can do that. I haven't got to be special. I don't have to merit anything. I can do it myself. I can decree a thing in my heart and not doubt, and it will come to pass. Ask in faith, nothing wavering, and it will come to pass. All I have to do is assure my heart. With the heart, man believes. And I get so excited about it. I get so excited. I say, just think, I can do that. That I have the power. I still got my sanity. I'm still at myself. That all I've got to do is just believe. I mean, all I've got to do is just believe that because God said it, it will actually happen. Because God said it, it's all right. Now, isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, the thing that bothers me is I just can't get a hold of faith. What do you mean you can't get a hold of faith? What do you mean you can't get a hold of faith? What is faith? Faith is accepting the fact. How many of you know that? How many of you accept the facts? Do you accept facts? You accept historical facts. That's all faith is accepting the facts. Am I right or am I wrong? All right, is it a fact that God cannot lie and all of His promises are yea and amen? All right, there you are. There's faith right there. Now, don't that thrill you? Well, that thrills me. Every time I think about it, to think that I myself can believe, that I myself can just say, now, wait a minute. That's a fact. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything's all right. Going to happen. No doubt about it, it's going to happen. No doubt about it, it's going to happen. Because all the promises are yea and amen. And if the Bible said, by His stripes I'm healed, I'm healed. And everything else is a lying vanity, calling those things that are not as though they are. How many of you know that faith is the substance of things hoped for? How many of you know that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Enoch was translated by faith. Faith. What is faith? Paul said, what are you hoping for? Anybody hoping for anything? Somebody said, I sure hope I'm healed. What are you hoping for? I'm asking you a question now. I'm just telling you what the, you know, Paul said. He said, he was our apostle. I'm just telling you what Paul said. What are you hoping for? It don't make any difference what it is. Paul said, faith is that substance. You follow me? Faith is that substance. Whatever it is, if it's healing, to believe means that you have your healing. For it is the evidence. Faith is the evidence that it's been wrought in God. Faith is the evidence that he heard you, that he'd done what you asked him to do. Faith, just simply believing in your heart, is the evidence and positive proof that there's no way you can fail to get what you want. Counting those things that are not as though they are. How many of you want to be strong in faith? Let me see your hand. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith. You can have faith and yet not be strong in faith. Peter was weak in faith. He began to sink. But there was a moment when he was strong in faith and he walked on the water. The same faltering Peter was a man that walked on the water. I feel faith already, don't you? Rising like a tide. You know where we make a mistake, folks? We put faith way off in the distance. We put it out of the reach of mankind. And if it's out of the reach of mankind, then it cannot help mankind. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you know that everybody can't get a hold of faith? He's made it possible. I want to ask this question. If faith is not something that is close enough for us to take hold of it and to use it for our everyday need. Now, if that isn't faith, if faith isn't practical to where we can take hold of it, if it's so far above us and so far out of our reach, then it looks like that there's no hope for us. Wouldn't you say that? I said there's no need of us professing Christianity anymore because we're saved by faith and it's too far for you to get a hold of it, so we're all going to die and go to hell. Have you heard what I said? I said, there's no need of you trying to get a hold of it. It's so far away. Don't you ever tell me again that you're a Christian. Don't you ever tell me that God saved you by faith. Because remember, it's too far out for you to get a hold of. See, it's too far off for you to get a hold of. So don't tell nobody God ever saved you by faith. But if you believe that faith is something that you can get a hold of, something God has brought down to your level, something that he said you could use, then you can go to heaven. Because he said, by grace, through faith, he saved you. Is that right? Now, if faith is close enough for you to use for your salvation, and it's strong enough to cause you to pass over death into a world of tomorrow, then why is it that it's not strong enough to bring you your healing? Or bring you the needs, the everyday needs of your life? Tell me, why is it? You know what it is? You complicate it. That's where the trouble comes in. You complicate faith. You place it out of your reach. You put it too far away. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Some of you are going to be shocked in the day of the judgment to find out that you did not have salvation. That you did not make it over. That you do not have faith. And that you did not get salvation when you went down to the altar, though you sought it with bitter tears like Esau did. You found no place of repentance because some of you do not have faith. You just have strong delusions. But if you've got the Spirit of Christ, then you're His. And that Spirit of Christ is humble, meek, sweet, loving, swearing to its own hurt, not reasoning, but trusting in God. You follow me? If you have not that Spirit, you're none of His. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if you have that Spirit, then you are His. And if you have that Spirit, then all things are possible to you. That means that you can believe. So tonight, I just said that to say this. When I pray for you tonight, I want you to believe. When I go to my prayer room and I pray for you, I believe God. I get down on my knees and I don't just get down there yawning and half-hearted, you know. Sometimes I get sleepy and weary. Sometimes I doze off to sleep. But I don't just get down there half-hearted. I'm sincere in my heart. And I say, Lord, bless Brother Al Gonzalez. Brother Al Gonzalez needs help. God be merciful to him. Lord, help him and strengthen him. Help him to be a great like Jesus. And I'll say, God, I believe. God, I believe. I believe, God. Help me, Lord, I believe. And I set my faith in motion for Brother Al Gonzalez. Now that's the way I pray for you, because that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands together tonight. And I'm going to pray with you. If you're sick, if you've got a need, I promise you, I solemnly promise you as a mouthpiece for God, and I give you my word, and God will let me give you His word. And just like an insurance agent or anybody else, if they represent a great company or a great organization, if they're really a representative and not something that's false, but if the company really has sent them out as an authority, then the laws of the land will stand behind that agent. And whatever he binds that company to, that company will have to produce it. And I'm sent by God to tell you in the name of Jesus, I say that humbly, that what I tell you he will do. And he has bound himself to his word, saying, command thou me concerning the works of my hand, decree a thing in your heart, I will bring it to pass. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. He said, I'll give it to you whatsoever ye desire. When you pray, believe that you receive it and ye shall have it. Ask anything in my name. He said, I will do it. For if any man can say anything and doubt not in his heart, that man shall have whatsoever he saith. Now we've got a mind, folks. All we got to do is use it to believe rather than to doubt. And I'm going to say this to you while you've got your hands up. Somebody would say, well, I don't know whether I can believe or not. I don't know whether God wants to heal me or not. But let me tell you something, and listen real close. This will help you to believe. Remember that when you disbelieve, God calls that an evil heart of unbelief. Now, I said that to say this. That proves that God is on your side for your healing. That proves that He wants you to believe for your healing and that He's on your side for your healing. And when that question arises in your heart, Jesus said, why do questions arise in your heart? When that question arises in your heart as to whether He wants you healed or not, then the thing to do is to stop right there and say, now, wait a minute. God said that if I didn't believe that He's healed me by His stripes, then I have an evil heart. That proves He must want me healed. And so then you'll find it a lot easier to believe when you find that God wants you to believe. When you get to believing that God wants you healed, and you get to, the first thing you need to do is to believe that there is a God and believe that He is a rewarder of you because you diligently seek Him. In other words, believe that He wants you to be healed, and then most of the work's done. Most people feel like God don't want to heal them because they've been a wretch, because they're too sorry, because they're too bad, because they can't believe, because they haven't lived right, because of this and because of that and because of the sufferings of Job and all kind of things. But folks, let me tell you something, and you believe me, there's not a living human being on the face of the earth, good or bad, that God don't want healed tonight. Not one. Not one. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if that's true, why doesn't God heal everybody in the land? The Bible said, it's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, that He hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked, that He wants everybody saved. Then the question is, why doesn't everybody get saved, or why doesn't God save everybody? It's because of unbelief. That's why He doesn't heal everybody. God can't heal by faith, unless there's faith. He can't do it. He went into one land and the Bible said He couldn't do nothing there. Just heal a few sick folks, that was all. No mighty works He could do because of their unbelief. Wasn't it Christ couldn't do it? It just they couldn't receive it. There's got to be a living receptacle. God's here tonight. I've already felt Him here. I've already prayed for the service tonight. Now, I don't know whether you prayed today for the service or not, but I prayed for the service. I prayed God would do something to the service tonight. And I prayed for the service. I prayed God would help you. God would heal you. And God would do something for you. And I hope you prayed too. There's people that's fasting. People that just broke fasts. Like I said, there's a sister here tonight. Maybe 7 days or more in a fast. Another sister here that's numbers of days. There's people that's fasted lengthy fasts right here. I mentioned Sister Cooks the other night. I believe she's fasted as high as 21 days maybe longer at one time. Some of the others has fasted, lengthy fast, prayed. They have faith. Some of them's faith is not as active as it should be, because fasting doesn't give faith. It doesn't give faith. Faith comes by hearing of the word. But fasting strengthens faith. Faith without works is dead. It brings it to life. It revives it. It sets it on fire. It puts it in motion. Hereby we assure our hearts, because we do the things that please God, and then with the heart we believe. Whether it be fasting, praying, submission, obedience unto righteousness, or what, we assure our heart, all these things please God. And fasting cuts down the resistance of the carnal reasoning to make you doubt, to where the inner man can be free from the outer conflict, to where he can believe without wavering. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? I'm telling you something that will help you. I want you to lift your hands with me, and I want to pray for you. Now, I can help you. I can help you. I know it can help you. God has helped me to help many people in my lifetime. I can help you. But I can't help you if you don't believe. Nobody can help you. And you can believe. Don't ever let Satan tell you that you can't believe. You can believe. You can believe. There's no respect of person with God. You can believe. And tonight I want you to believe. I preached here to you different times when faith was tremendous. And you can believe tonight. I want you to believe. Hallelujah. I'm going to join my faith with your faith and my prayer. And I want you to believe with me tonight. Some of you are healed already because we've prayed with you before. And I want you to lift your hands up with me now. The ones out there, I want you to lift your hands up with me. If you're sick, if you've got a need, if you're bound with evil spirits. Some of you have evil spirits that just about drive you out of your mind. A devil can drive you crazy. He can drive you insane. Because he'll talk to you every minute of the day. All hours of the day. The thought will hound you to death. It'll just talk to you and talk to you till you go stark raving mad. But the anointing will break the yoke. Satan will lose his hold if you'll believe. That's all it takes is believing. I wished I had a listening audience and had time tonight to explain to you what I mean. It takes a lot of explanation, for great is the mystery of godliness. I wish that I could explain the mystery of faith to you. How beautiful it is to understand it. Father of heaven, as we stand here together tonight, Lord, we sing the song, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Oh, dear God, how I need thee. I feel your mighty anointing upon my body right now. I feel it, Jesus. I feel the anointing. I know that somebody is believing because I feel the virtue going out of my body tonight, Jesus. I feel your divine virtue. Heal tonight, Jesus. Father, heal tonight. Father, break these yokes and these bondages tonight. Every power, every force, every evil spirit, God, I want you to break it and take it off of the people and off of the audience and their God out of the hearts. And I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son tonight, Father, that every heart tonight would feel faith. If there be not found within either of these an evil heart of unbelief, but God, that they will believe in you, and God, that they will trust in you. Oh God, Lord, I pray tonight that strength will come into these bodies that are weak tonight, that by faith tonight they'll say that they're strong in the power of your might. And Lord, you said that the confession of our faith would bring it to pass. That if we should believe in our heart and confess with our lips. And dear God, may they believe tonight with all of their soul, mind, heart, body, and strength. God, relying on thee, and get away from their reasoning, Father. That old carnal mind of resistance that's contrary to you. May they lay it aside and just accept the simple word of your faith. may their heart accept the facts of God's word tonight. And Father, may they be healed tonight. And God, may from this hour on, they openly, soberly, confidently, without doubting or wavering, confess to one another and to whoever they meet that God has healed them and set them free. And let them rejoice in that. Let them relax in that. Let them rely on that. And like Abraham, be strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what thou hast promised, thou art able also to perform. Being seed of Abraham, I pray this blessing upon them tonight, all those that hear my voice, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, I need thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I need. Sister Beachy failed somewhere or done something and hurt her foot real bad, said she wasn't able to come to church, said it's real bad, and wanted us to pray. Let's pray together. Now you've got your faith up, and let's pray together that God will help her and heal her. She's such a wonderful blessing in helping others, and let's bind our faith together tonight and pray that God will heal her. Will you do that with me? Father of heaven tonight, Lord, we don't lean to our own understanding. Because, God, if we did, we would know, Lord, from our own intellectual reasoning that nothing is going to happen to that foot. Intellectually, Lord, we know that nothing will happen to that foot. God, because our reasoning tells us there is no supernatural power to help her. There is no supernatural intervention. And, God, what she needs to do is go to the doctor. And let them do whatever they can. But God, my heart tells me by faith that there is a God. And Father, that you will heal her foot tonight. And God, you're going to do something for it. Because we're believing in that behalf. Not leaning to our own natural reasoning. But entering into a supernatural world. God, abundantly above that I can think. I know I can't think it, God, so I'm going to believe it tonight. In the name of Jesus, by your stripes she's healed. Heal her foot tonight. The name of your lovely son, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe he done it, don't you? I felt faith. I want thee, oh, I want thee.